probably feeling some pain in her wrist from like bleeding.
Exactly. The pain in the wrist. Yes.
That's
yes.
what you were thinking of.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, goodness.
I'm doing great. It's fine. You...
She's in a spicy mood tonight.
I'm, yes, very spicy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Bollywood darlings.
The star of the show, Sri Devi. Wow.
Wow. Wow in all caps.
Yeah, what seriously. A woman. What a woman. What a performer.
Yeah.
I was just completely blown away. We watched Chandani for this week, and I'm so glad we did. Her performance was like, she just was amazing.
She has Shah Rukh level charisma.
She does, but like in a totally different way, like
agreed.
In her own way. Like, I couldn't believe how like she acts with every muscle in her face, like,
yeah.
And her expressions are so vibrant, but it's never like over the top or silly. This is just what she does, and
yeah.
I loved it.
I
loved
did
it
too.
So much.
I'm a big Sri Devi fan now.
Yeah, definitely. I liked her character too. I liked the character of Chandani, and I felt like she was the friend who you would have in life who you're like jealous of.
Yeah.
Because they're just so great and so perfect, but also like you love them so much because they're so great and so perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she definitely puts off that vibe. You just can't help but fall in love with her.
Yeah.
She's great.
Unless you're Rohit's family, in which case
yeah.
you're horrible and don't love anyone or anything.
Guys,
other
the mean grandma from Kalpona Ho
yes!
is back.
Strikes again.
I actually really love that actress. I think she does what she
yeah.
does very well.
She
but
does.
I don't know how else to refer to her.
I know. It's yeah, she does play like evil parental figure.
She's so good at it.
Yeah, very well. Yeah.
I hope she's like the nicest person in the world.
I'm sure she is. I feel like nice people are the ones who are really good at playing mean convincingly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also wanted to say, I mean, this is the earliest movie we've watched so
yeah.
far. We didn't even really go that far back in time from our previous earliest film. But, like, there were aspects of it that felt dated, but not in a way that I didn't like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I understand completely why it's a classic. Like,
I
even
do
though
too.
I didn't watch it in the context in which it came out, I completely understand why anybody watching it would immediately fall in love with it.
Yeah. And also, I mean, the same exact storyline would and could come out in a film being released this year.
Right, and there wasn't much to it that I was like, I don't like that. It was,
yeah.
other than maybe like a few tiny little moments that then didn't really lead to
anything,
you know, yeah.
Yeah, I agree, because I found myself just thinking, I'm also glad that we watched this after we've seen The Romantics.
Yes.
Because I found myself examining Chandani's like character as she's written. And she is a strong woman.
She is, yeah. Yeah, she stood up for herself throughout
yeah.
the movie. She didn't, you know,
go along.
There were moments
with...
when, you know, where a lot of the drama is going down where I wondered, like, what is her reaction going to be? But no, she was, her character was fully realized as a strong woman who knows herself and knows what she wants out of life. And I just, it's great. We've said it before, it shouldn't be remarkable to see those kinds of stories told on screen, but it is, and
yeah.
we like to see it.
We're always happy when we, like, walk away from a movie not feeling like, I don't know how I feel about the female representation there. Yeah.
Yeah. Before we talk about our cast, I had one other thing I wanted to say, because our listener who recommended watching Chandani as a Shri Devi experience.
Oh, man, I'm in it. Was. So thank you so much for that.
Had also said that we should make sure that the version we watch had subtitles over the musical numbers, because that's something that Yash Chopra was like known for. And we did. They were there. And yeah. I was, based on that recommendation, paying attention to the lyrics translated into English, of course, for us. But like, they were a part of the story in a way that I don't feel like musical numbers always are in these movies. Like,
that's true.
Each song felt like, not like it was necessarily advancing the plot, but like it was really drawing inspiration from the plot. Yeah, it was incorporated in a way that we don't always see. I just really enjoyed seeing that. I just, and the musical numbers were a highlight, I felt. They were each, there were a lot of them.
There were a lot of them.
And I didn't write down all of their names in my recap, but each one felt a little different. Each one was trying to tell a slightly different component of the story, and I appreciated that a lot. Another thing about that was I did go back. I watched the part of the romantics where Chandani is discussed, and Yash Chopra was in an interview saying that people were saying that his like love story films didn't have a highlight because they didn't have fight scenes. And he was like, why would people like fight scenes over songs? Like, songs are the thing that that stick with you as you're leaving the theater. And I was like, that's so true. Like, I've been humming Chandani.
Oh, that's a good Chandani. Spoiler alert. Like, that's my favorite.
It's mine too. I've been like singing that to myself for days.
God, I love Yash Chopra. Like,
I do too. Yeah.
His whole way of viewing the world is just so sweet.
And romantic.
And romantic, yeah. Also, just Shri Devi was like in the rain this entire film.
Yeah, that one song where Rishi Kapoor joins her dancing in the rain, that was very sensual. We'll talk about it.
Very sensual. Yeah. It's like, oh, you're both wet now.
Yeah, that's what people like.
Just go and roll around in a puddle.
Yeah, everyone does that, right? That's
how we all foreplay. Get in the
mood. Yeah. So, in addition to the wonderful and amazing Shri Devi, and then Rishi Kapoor, who I just mentioned, we also have Vinod Khanna. We have Anupam Kher. I didn't know he was here. I was really excited to see him.
I was very excited when I saw the, like, special appearance or what, however they introduced him in the credits. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even notice that. I don't know what I was doing during the credits.
So because I saw that, I was ready and I was looking for him. But I don't know why, but my brain was looking for, like, modern day Anupam Kher.
Yeah, you were looking for a bald man.
And not, like, 1989 Anupam Kher.
Right.
So I, like, was surprised when he appeared on screen. Like, I didn't fully recognize him at first. And it was, like, a shock to my system. Because I was like, this is no longer, like, Papa Anupam Kher.
Right.
Threw me for a loop.
Yeah, me too. It was the fact that he had hair for me that was, like, I'm not used to seeing you this way.
Right. But, like, he still had that good old, like, Anupam Kher energy.
He did, yes. He was the voice of reason in many ways.
And just, like, so, like, nice and gentle. I love him so much.
I do too, yeah. And then the last person who I wanted to call out was Juhi Chawla, who had a briefer special appearance than Anupam Kher's, but I was, like, really excited to see her.
I was too. I was also just waiting for her, because once I realized, like, Anupam Kher had a fairly decent-sized role, I was hoping she would as well. And, like, no, not really, but we did get to see her dance also in the rain.
Yes,
right. Was
absolutely.
That also in the rain? I feel there was a lot in the rain.
Yeah, because that was the whole thing. That was Lalit's whole thing with the rain. Right. I also didn't know that she was in it because, again, didn't watch the opening credits. So, I was just
oh my God.
I just got to be surprised in the moment, which was really fun.
That is fun. I do just want to follow up on something I had said last week, where I had said okay. I was interested to see if Rishi Kapoor and Ranbir Kapoor had any similarities in acting styles.
Uh-huh.
And I will say, I didn't actually really notice anything.
I don't know that I was necessarily watching, even after you had said that, trying to, like, notice right. similarities between their acting styles, but I really loved watching Rishi Kapoor on screen.
He's got good energy.
I didn't like his character, but, like, I can, again, just completely understand the charm. I can understand why he was as huge of a star as he was, because I was just enchanted. I was drawn in by him.
Yeah.
And I have seen him in things from, you know, when he was already a dad, you know, playing dads.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the first thing from when he was younger, and I really enjoyed it a lot.
I did, too. It was nice. That was my last thing before we talk about the plot.
Yeah, let's plot. We open with a voiceover wondering who was the first person to say, "Main tumse mohabbat karta hoon," or "I love you." Mm-hmm. And the voiceover says, "Love has the power to move the innocent to helplessness and madness." Yeah. And then we hear a voice shout, "Chandni!"
I love when they shout names in Bollywood films.
Yeah, it's very intense. I was a little bit worried. I was like, what have we gotten ourselves into here? I was like, is this going to be another Bazigar situation where a bunch of young people get murdered?
I was also worried about that, yeah. Even but though no, we'd no read murder. The, yeah, it didn't yeah. seem to have that vibe, but you never know.
Right. Yeah, you really don't know when Shah Rukh might show up and push someone off a roof.
We should watch Bazigar for the pod sometime.
Oh, goodness. But so our story itself begins at a wedding in Delhi, and our leading lady, Chandni, is, I think, the bride's cousin or a close friend mm-hmm. or maybe relative. Anyway, she's there. And she is greeting everyone by sneaking up on them and scaring them, which is fun, and then scoffing at them when they ask her when she is going to be getting married.
It kind of reminds me of Jacqueline Fernandez's character yeah. in The Flying Jot. Is it Kriti, Kirti, whatever?
People.
Yeah, just like punch, punch, ha, ha, ha. But like more elegant.
Yeah, and less painful.
Yes, yeah.
That's a good comparison. I like that. Chandini finally meets up with the bride, Neelu, and they hug, but then their greeting is interrupted by a crash from outside, and they yeah. look out the window, and Rohit has arrived. He has knocked over, like, one of the canopies that's decorating the yard with his car, and Neelu says, "Oh, don't worry, that's just Rohit's style."
Yeah.
I really thought that him, like, crashing into things in his car would come up again, but it doesn't.
Weirdly doesn't, but crashing in other things does, sort of.
Making other, maybe slightly klutzy decisions does.
Although, he then, like, immediately blamed, like, the people working about, like, the tent being
oh, yeah.
there.
It's like, why'd you put this where I want to drive my car?
Right. And I'm like, that's kind of charming in a Bollywood film for a hero, but also kind of a red flag. Yeah. He has red flags.
He really does. And we're about to find out more about them. So that night, Chandini is dancing for all of the women who are there for the wedding, and mm-hmm. Rohit sees her from afar, and he's into her dance, and first he decides to pretend that he's a woman so he can watch the dance, but he gets found out and pushed out of the celebration. Uh-huh. And so then he starts just, like, sneaking around, taking pictures of her. Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, I get it. Again, we mentioned that she's got charisma and that you can just tell, like, everyone will fall in love with her within a few moments of being in her presence, but I was just like, that dance is so good. Like, she does
her
so
dance
well.
Is incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so anyway, Chandini finishes her dance and she runs into the house, but then all of the lights go out. And then Rohit steps out of the shadows and grabs her. And mm-hmm. he says that he has left only enough light for them to see each other. He yeah. then professes his love to her. He's never spoken to her before. And yep. asks if she loves him. She's never seen him before.
Yeah.
And she
seems kind of uncomfortable.
It's a lot. She keeps trying to get away from him. He keeps pulling her closer. And finally, she breaks free, but one of her bracelets, like, breaks off in his hand as she frees herself. And she also, like, cuts her wrist. It's wild. Like,
he was keeping her captive. Yes. And she harmed herself escaping.
Yes. And again, we do understand, like, the romanticism of this kind of thing. And no one is saying that this is okay in real life.
No.
But it's still fun to laugh about it.
It is.
And Chandani does realize that she's kind of into this. Alone in her room, she reflects that no one has ever spoken to her with this level of, like, romance and intensity. And mm-hmm. she says that she can finally start to feel her heart beating. Over the next couple of days leading up to the wedding, Rohit keeps pestering Chandani. There's a scene where he's mimicking the actions that one of the aunties is describing from her own wedding night, which was a fun scene. And also, this woman apparently got married when she was 10 and her husband was 12. But nothing sexual happened until they were 16 and 18. So
it's fine.
So that's fine.
Yeah.
Again, fascinating.
They kind of just glide right over that.
They really do. But so he takes pictures of Chandani while she's getting her hands hennaed, and she, like, ends up smudging henna on her nose, which is not easy to wash off from what I've understood about henna.
Yeah, I noticed that too, and I was like, they probably have some sort of remover that would counteract the...
Like, if you're really quick about it, you're, like, you know, wipe it off.
Otherwise, like, your nose is gonna be brown for, like, however long.
Yeah.
Good luck.
But that doesn't happen to our Chandani.
No.
And then we're at the wedding, and instead of throwing the flower petals on the bride and groom, Rohit keeps throwing them at Chandani. But Chandani, again, she's into this, so she's kind of throwing them right back, and we're seeing there's this teasing flirtation between the two of them.
Yes. It felt very high school. Not in a bad way.
Sure.
But just like in a, like... Oh my God.
He's the person you like, kind of thing.
He's so annoying. Like, why is he even doing this? But also, I like it. Like, don't stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you like the attention. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So by the end of the wedding, they're just, like, gazing at each other. So there's definitely, there's a clear attraction here.
Yes.
Chandani is supposed to leave to go home right after the wedding, but Neelu's parents say that they'll be lonely while Neelu is on her honeymoon. And so they invite Chandani to stay, and she accepts, and Rohit is delighted that he's going to get more time with her. And so he takes her for a ride on his motorcycle, and he drives recklessly through the streets of Delhi until Chandani confesses that she loves him back.
I was actually a little scared for them and their
safety. I mean, yeah, they're two actors riding their motorcycle without helmets on. Like, that's always scary.
And she's just, like, perched. Like, she's not even astride the motorcycle.
She's, like, riding side saddle.
Oh, man.
But this launches us into what I called our first musical number, although I guess Chandani danced at the wedding already. So our second musical number, but the first one that I looked up the name of, Mehbooba. The main thing that I want to talk about from this dance number is Rohit's sweaters.
Oh, he's got some great sweaters.
Yeah, so this continues through the movie. Yeah, I have never seen so many loud sweaters in one movie, and I loved every single one of them. It was like every time he came on screen, I was like, that is a different sweater. That is crazy, and I love it.
Yeah, it was great. I liked all the amusement park stuff. That was fun.
That was a fun time. Yeah.
Love an amusement park.
Love great. A carnival. Like, they're having a great time.
Like, bumper cars? Woo!
Yeah. In that scene, Chandani is also wearing a crazy sweater.
Yes. She looked great. I love she sweaters.
Yeah. Which is good, because we live in New England, and it's cold here a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
But so, after the song, Rohit takes Chandani to his house, and he shows her his room, which is covered in pictures of her that he has taken. And at first, Chandani is a little taken aback by this, but ultimately she likes it and they embrace.
Yeah, I was like, okay, now it's time to play. Is it super romantic or super creepy?
Right, exactly. Just,
it's, yeah, either a huge red flag or completely the opposite. It's a big swing.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. And you're going to find out real fast whether this person is the right person for you, if they like the creepy things that you've done for them or not.
Yeah. And it turns
out high reward.
Right. It turns out that they are aligned on that subject.
They're on the same page. Yep.
That's good. I would not be.
Just for anyone who's planning to court Katie, just so you're aware. Chandani then does have to leave Delhi to go back home, but she and Rohit agree to write to each other, and they write some very romantic letters back and forth, which inspire Chandani to frolic in the moonlight, dressed all in white, mm-hmm. as she is wont to do throughout this film. There's a lot of frolicking in the moonlight. There's a lot of I use the word frolic several times.
You know what? That's the only term for it. Yeah.
It's true. And Rohit decides to tell his family that he wants to marry Chandani, but they turn up their noses at the idea of this because she is not from their tier of society.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his mom literally puts her on the same level as furniture and says, like, she's not going to match the decor, which is wild.
Not a woman supporting other women.
Definitely not. But Rohit's like, all right, listen, I wasn't asking for your permission. I was telling you what's going to happen. So I'm going to marry Chandani with or without your blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And he leaves the room. And then we meet Ramesh, who is his brother-in-law, Anupam Kher. And he is the voice of reason throughout this whole movie. And he's the sensible one.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells them that they should accept Chandani the way that they accepted him into the family. So the marriage is grudgingly agreed to by Rohit's family, and the celebrations begin, and Chandani's friend Kiran, who will come up again, it's her turn now to dance at Chandani's wedding celebrations the way Chandani danced at the start of the film.
Mm-hmm.
But Kiran and Rohit both gesture for Chandani to take over the performance, which she does. And the songs, you know, it's maybe a little bit rude towards her in-laws, and it's not supposed to be, like, intentionally directed at these specific in-laws.
No.
It's very, like, tongue-in-cheek. But they take it personally.
They're very sensitive.
They are very sensitive, yes. Very, very uppity.
Ramesh is, like, the only one who's like, oh, yeah, that was funny, haha.
Yeah, he can
as
laugh at himself.
As you should be. It's not like she wrote it.
Ugh. No. She's just having a good time. But as a result of this, Rohit's family once more tries to convince him to call off the wedding, but Rohit refuses, and Ramesh tells them that they either need to accept Chandani or they will lose their son.
Mm-hmm.
The next day is the engagement ceremony, and Rohit's family are super cold towards Chandani's family, and they even, like, inspect the ring that they've gotten for Rohit to, like, see if it's up to their standard.
Yeah.
And Rohit's sister Pooja gifts Chandani a pair of dancer's bells to wear, and Chandani and Rohit both take offense to this.
Yeah.
But despite all of this, Rohit and Chandani, they are still happy and still in love with one another, and so they decide to go to Switzerland.
Yeah, they do.
And I did get confused here because they were saying, like, we'll go to Switzerland on our honeymoon, and so then the next thing we know, they're in Switzerland. And so I was like, oh, they're married, but they're not.
I also thought that. I was like, okay, they're on their honeymoon. And then I was like, she's still being so coy, though. Like, they're still so flirty, but in a way that suggests that they're not sleeping together. But if it's their honeymoon, they probably are. I was very confused.
Well, and it's like, is that just, like, for the movie, for the fun? Or but, like, they're not married.
And then I was like, is it a dream sequence?
We are obviously fine with people having sex when they're not married, but in this case, we were expecting things to happen differently. Or not, whatever you want to do with your body is great.
Yes.
Anyway, so they go to Switzerland, they have some lighthearted Swiss fun, they ski, they canoodle in the park, and then Chandani pretends to hold Rohit at gunpoint.
Yeah.
And she appears to be holding an actual gun.
Like, but it's like a
I don't
fake
know what,
gun?
It was like a very small gun. And I was like, where did she get that? It's never really like elaborate, like
Rohit
where it came from.
No, but Rohit does mention it's a fake gun.
Well, all right.
Very briefly after that happens. But still, it's like,
where did she get that very realistic-looking fake gun, and why?
I don't know. It's such an escalation from, like, the cutesy flirting they were doing before that. It's like, ha-ha, give me all your
Stick
money.
Stick them up.
And, like, they're just
on a public street, and I just imagine people walking by being like, Yeah, well, now let's talk about this public street for a second, because this is one of many times throughout this movie where the people in the background don't seem like they were hired to be people in the background.
Yeah, they're just looking at the camera.
Yeah, this sequence, so many white people just staring into the camera for, like, prolonged moments. And there was even a point, I, like, laughed out loud at this, there was even a point where, like, people, like, walked around the corner, looked at the camera, and then turned and walked away. And in my head, I was like, those people, those Swiss people were like, oh gosh, Yash Chopra's back. Like, making another movie in Switzerland.
My God, I noticed that too. And I was like, this is fascinating.
It truly is. Yeah. There was like a bunch of dudes in a car that like slowed down and were like, hey!
Look, okay, this scene's worth rewatching for that alone.
Yeah, and it made me think of how, like, we learned in The Romantics that Yash Chopra was a little more, like, economical and frugal in his filmmaking. Yeah. It made me think he was probably like, well, it's not worth us, like, reshooting, like, wasting the film we just shot on. Fine. Like, let's just keep going.
Yeah.
The actors did great. Who's gonna notice the background people?
Us.
Us.
You specifically.
I always notice stuff in the background. I don't know why. Anyway... So all that happens. And then there's a whole scene where Chandani gets drunk because Rohit tells her that cognac isn't alcohol, which it very much is, and so she gets tipsy. And she tries to be seductive, but she ends up falling asleep instead, and then Rohit turns to the camera and says, yeah, cognac is alcohol.
Is alcohol. I was like, I don't know how I feel about him getting her drunk on, like, false pretenses, but... It is kind of cute how they just keep, like, repeating, like, it's not alcohol.
Well, yeah, and I think it's pretty clear from the first sip that it is, in fact, alcohol.
That is
so
true.
I feel like it was the first sip was the joke, and then, like, she was just like, yeah, no, it's not alcohol. I can keep drinking this.
Having a great time.
That was apparently a thing. So you know how there's the line in... Baby, It's Cold Outside, where she's like, hey, what's in this drink? And everybody now is like, oh my
like,
God,
roofie.
He roofied her. That's a reference to, like, they're in the, like, I don't know, 40s and 50s in filmmaking in Hollywood. There was a trope where women would pretend that they didn't know that alcohol was alcohol so that they could get drunk but be innocent in doing it. So it was not written to be a reference of her like, being drugged. It's written for her to be like, oh, I didn't know that this was alcohol. Oh, I've gotten a little bit tipsy. I had no idea. So that's what this reminds me of with this.
I kind of love that. Should we be trying that? next time we go to the brewery and get beers, it's like, I didn't know.
Yeah. No idea. We should do that. We should order non-alcoholic beers, and then we should do that and see that.
Yes.
So after the drunk scene, we do get a dance, Mitwa, another musical number where we're just vibing in the Alps. It's fun. And this was, I really liked this of the slower songs. This was my favorite of the slower songs musically. I enjoyed this one.
I don't really remember it. I'm going to be honest.
That's fair. There were a lot of dance numbers. But after this joyful vacation, they return home and we see Rohit repeatedly calling Chandani, and he's like, he's doing the cute thing again, very high school, in a sweet way of like, okay, what are you doing now? And then they hang up, and then 10 minutes later, like, okay, what are you doing now? Are you thinking of me? It's very cute. So in his last phone call, Rohit tells Chandani to meet him on the terrace that night, dressed all in white. And so she goes up to the terrace, but Rohit isn't there. Until she hears a helicopter flying overhead, and it's Rohit throwing flower petals upon her from on high. Which just, what a move. What a choice.
I will acknowledge that it's romantic, but it also is just so overkill. Like, you had to, like, rent a helicopter to do this.
Yeah.
And maybe it wasn't the smartest choice, as we will find out.
Well, yes, because Chandani watches as Rohit continues on his flight path, just, you know, flies away. And what felt like seconds later, the phone rings from inside the house. Like, it seemed like the helicopter barely had time to leave her line of sight. When the phone rings, she runs downstairs. And she's expecting it to be Rohit on the phone, but it's Ramesh calling to tell her that Rohit fell out of the helicopter.
It's not funny. It's so funny.
It's so funny. And again, like,
it's tragic though, but like,
yeah,
he was, we've talked about how dangerous it is to hang out of these helicopters.
It is.
And here it is. This guy just toppled out. He
just fell out of the helicopter. Oh my goodness. And you know, again, like the tragedy of the moment, the melodrama of the moment, like, you know, it got me. I felt the things that I was supposed to feel, but I also just, like, in retrospect, this just very funny.
It's really funny. Also though, I also just kind of thought it was funny that, like, the second that the helicopter continued on, she just looks elsewhere and starts screaming like, Rohit, where are you, where'd you go? And I'm like, he went that way.
He went in the helicopter.
That went that way.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's funny. Obviously.
But so Chandani, she runs to the hospital where Rohit's family is, of course, thrilled to have her there and takes the opportunity to just continue to be mean to her. They blame her for the accident, which is stupid because I've never seen an accident that was more the fault of the person who fell out of the helicopter.
Yeah.
Like, there's nowhere else you could place the blame.
They're like, it's your fault because you like flowers.
Yeah.
It's like, a lot of people like flowers.
Most people's partners don't also then fall out of helicopters as a result of your love of flowers. Well, I've actually only heard of that happening this one time.
You'd think if he were going to fall out, it would have happened when he was leaning over, dumping out the flower petals.
Right.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
He was just leaning out again to be like, look.
Oh my God.
It's wild. But so eventually Chandani is able to visit with Rohit and they learn that he is now paralyzed on the right side of his body.
Yeah.
Now, very importantly, the doctor does tell him pretty much immediately after delivering this news that this is not a permanent thing, that with, you know, with deliberation, with work, he can regain his mobility on his right side. But that doesn't, that doesn't really stick until a little later.
No, there were definitely some plot holes here.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure we'll go into. But this is a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. So Rohit heads home from the hospital and Chandani starts spending more time around the house so she can help to take care of him. And his horrible family is frustrated by her presence and they're super mean to her still. Ramesh, though, this is the one thing that he says in the movie that I disagree with. He's like, don't show any emotion with Rohit. Just bottle it up, keep it inside, and put on a happy face for Rohit. And I do understand the spirit behind that. Yes. Like, Rohit's in recovery and everything, but it does mean that Chandani doesn't really get to fully feel what she's feeling. But we do then get a very sweet number, Ah, Mary John, where she is comforting him and trying to cheer him up by, again, dancing in the rain. And then at the end of this number, she holds out a hand to him and he reaches for her, but he reaches a little too far and he falls out of his wheelchair.
Yeah.
And for the two of them, this isn't a huge deal. They're sort of just like, oh, crap. Well, Rohit's just like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. He gets back in the wheelchair. But Rohit's sister sees this, and so the family then again uses as an excuse to get mad at Chandani and tell her that she's got to get out of the house. They are awful. And Rohit overhears some of this, but then his dad tells him to go and rest, which he does, so he probably could have stuck up for Chandani a little bit in this moment, a little more. And again, I understand he's in recovery, he's got a lot going on, but it just, he claims to love her, he could do more. Anyway. When Chandani goes to visit Rohit the next day, he is just, like, completely shut off from her, and he says that yesterday was a dream, and today is reality, and he is no longer the man that she fell in love with. Chandani tries to reassure him, but ultimately he insists that he is too broken to love her and she should just leave him. And so yeah. Chandani does leave Rohit, who has a very cool sort of like fantasy of her dancing in this all white ensemble, like in yeah. the middle of like a wooded, like a field with the woods behind her.
It's very cool. Yeah.
Very cool. She looks incredible. She's like dripping in jewels. The music is super cool. It's a very, it's an excellent sequence.
Yeah.
But then Rohit like kind of comes out of this fantasy. He's alone in his room. He starts like hitting his paralyzed arm. And then finally he takes off his engagement ring.
Why didn't he try to go through the rehabilitation process first?
It's a great question. I had that question as well, but he doesn't. Yeah. This is the choice that he has made. Because, yes, yeah, so Chandani, she shows up the next day, and he has painted over all of the pictures that he had on his walls of her in white with white paint. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like, why didn't he just take them down? But then I was like, oh, it's got to come back later in some kind of way.
Yeah.
But so Rohit is like, I don't need your pity. And she asks him, well, what would you do in my place? You know, if I, as the person you loved, was injured in this way. And he says that he would have left her much earlier. And he says some more very cruel things, which convince her to leave him. And then he smiles slightly, suggesting that this was what he wanted all along.
Yeah.
And now we're at intermission. Ugh. And after intermission, we hear Rohit confirm with Ramesh that he was being intentionally cruel to Chandani to try to get her to leave, because mm-hmm. he realized that without being in his full health, he couldn't protect her from his family. And this is the kind of thing that, like, I mean, yes, for one, like, there is an avenue out of this. Like, you know, it would take some time, clearly, but, like, he could get physical therapy, apparently.
Yeah.
And also, you could have had a conversation with Chandani and asked her what she wanted.
Mm-hmm. Instead of assuming you knew best for her.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, and also just, like, causing more harm on top of the harm that your family has already caused her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this woman who's already in pain, just causing her to experience more pain because you think you're saving her. Like, no.
It was a choice. It was a choice. I'm going to be honest.
It was a choice.
Rohit's not my pick, like, first pick of heroes that we've had.
Yeah. No, mine neither. He's not my first pick of man in this movie, in fact.
That's also true.
But this is where we get, kind of as a, you know, flashback memory, our title number. We have already said both of our favorite mm-hmm. number from the movie, Chandani. And we're back to frolicking in Switzerland, back to the fabulous sweaters, and it's a great time.
It is. I really like her, like, skirt in the first moment. Mm-hmm. It's just, her fashion is so good, and I also liked the juxtaposition that we would see her in jeans and, like, you know, a tank top, but also, like, traditional, like, saris, and I loved that. I was like,
I love that, too. I love when a movie shows that a woman can wear whatever she wants to wear and still embody the values that she wants to embody.
Exactly. Love that. But I also really like their little dance move in the dance number.
Yeah.
That was good. And then they do like a joint clapping thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I just loved it. I found it very charming.
Super cute. Very charming. My favorite outfit of Chandani's was when she was wearing, they're on the boat and she's wearing the yellow hat.
Yes.
And then she has a matching yellow scrunchie. Like, just wow. To have the thought to match your scrunchie to your hat is just unreal.
I would never do that. Ever.
It's excellent. Yeah, this is a delight. But at the end of this number, we go back to reality. And Chandani she has gone to stay with her friend Kiran again, and Kiran's husband, and they're staying in Mumbai, and she is going to get a job, but she misses her bus on the way to her interview, and she can't flag down a cab, and so she ends up just getting in the car of a strange man.
Yep.
Which is a really risky choice, but it pays off for her, because not only does this man very kindly deliver her to the building she wants to go to for her interview, it also turns out that he is conducting the interview for this job.
Yeah, no, I would argue that her decision to, like, get into a random man's car would suggest that maybe her decision-making skills aren't totally ideal.
And her time management skills.
That, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's fine. It's fine. She looks great.
She looks fabulous. This all works for Lalit, our second act hero. So, yeah, she gets the job. She's working for a travel agency for Lalit, and she's feeling good. She's feeling like her life is back on track. And some time passes for Chandani in this new life, and we see her return home with her friends to the government building where they live. And the building is being raided, and so they, like, can't go back in the building that night. And so yep. Chandani's like, well, hey, we haven't had, like, a night out since I got here. Like, let's go out on the town. Mm-hmm. And everyone's into this idea. They're all excited until it starts to rain.
Yeah.
Which dampens things literally and figuratively. But luckily, again, who should drive past them but Lalit? And he invites them to come and spend the evening at his home with him and his mother.
Very nice.
Very sweet. And they arrive home, and Lalit's mom just immediately falls in love with Chandani, the way any sane person would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a nice time. They're all kind of hanging out and chatting, and Chandani's friends eventually go to bed, and Chandani is alone, and she just runs into the yard and starts dancing in the rain. Again, one of her preferred hobbies. But as she's dancing, she hears singing, and she turns back to the house to see Lalit crooning mournfully from his balcony. And then we see the ghostly form of a memory also dancing in the rain.
Yeah.
I liked the way this was done. It was very cool.
I did too.
And Chandani goes to Lalit, and he tells her that he is searching for something that he lost. And Chandani tells him to ease his pain by sharing it with her. But he says that only a fellow traveler on a long journey can heal his pain. And then we see a flashback. And this flashback tells us the story of his romance with a woman named Devika. And this is mm-hmm. Juhi Chawla's cameo.
Yes.
And this story tragically ends with her death. And at the end of the story, Lalit tells Chandani that he feels like at this point he's just kind of living out of habit. He doesn't feel like he has much to live for.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, Lalit's mom tells him that she really likes Chandani and she thinks it's about time that he found something else to live for.
Mm-hmm.
And at work, Lalit tells Chandani that he sees a shade of his sorrows mirrored in her eyes, and she says that with him, this new city feels a little less lonely. And it's all very sweet. Now, like, Lalit is a little bit creepy at times. He is, like, her boss, and, you know, it's...
Yeah.
There's a power dynamic thing there, but it's ultimately, he's a very sweet guy.
He is. I am pro him finding his happiness.
Yes, absolutely.
Though the way we were introduced to him might be a little bit rocky. Yeah.
Yeah. I left some of that out of my recap.
That's fine.
But,
yeah.
But so meanwhile, back with Rohit, he is in his room, it's raining, and the humidity is causing the paint on the pictures of Chandani to start to wear away. And mm-hmm. so he goes and he just starts, like, desperately wiping the paint away, and he becomes flooded with memories of her. And this is where we get that more sensual dance number in the rain.
Yeah.
This is where we hear Rohit shouting Chandani's name, and then he tells Ramesh that he is determined to regain his mobility so that he can sweep her off her feet a second time in mm-hmm. life. And so he goes to Switzerland, and we see a montage of him working with two Swiss doctors who, like, I was like, is this a mother-daughter duo? Are they twins? they've got the same hair.
Yeah. And, like, body type. And
yeah.
Yeah. Also, did you find that, like, the hospital montage, like, music was a little sexy?
I was too, like, distracted by the doctors. I didn't, but I believe you.
It had, like, a saxophone. And I was just like, This feels very sexy. And I'm... yeah, it was the saxophone guy in the background. But I was a little bit like, I feel like he's falling in love with these doctors or something. I don't know.
Wouldn't that be a twist? Oh my God, I love that so much. So back in India, Lalit is actually also on his way to Switzerland, and he promises his mom that he will propose to Chandini when he gets back from this trip. Mm-hmm. And Chandini ends up going with him to the airport to see him off, and Lalit asks Chandini if she will be thinking of him while he's gone. And she, again, looks a little taken aback by this question, and before she can answer, his flight gets called, and so he leaves. He heads off to Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Switzerland...
Yeah, this is crazy.
I was not expecting this, and I loved it.
No, yeah. It's the serendipitousness of it all.
It truly is, yeah. Rohit is, he's singing about his love when who should join in but Lalit? And these two, they are fast friends. They hit it off. They share their love stories with one another, though, of course, they leave out the name of their beloved.
Yes. Yes.
And then we get our next number, which definitely deserves an honorable mention, I feel, to Mujay Suna.
It's a good one.
It's really fun. And now it's the boys' turn to frolic with one another.
Yes. Yeah, I like that it's like a joint friendship blossoming and like love song about a woman that they don't know they're both into.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. It is truly fascinating. There are also moments where they're like teasing one another, which is very adorable. But mostly they're just singing about how much they love Chandini without realizing that they are singing about the same woman.
Yes.
And so Rohit and Lalit, they head to the airport to fly back to India. And Rohit convinces Lalit to call Chandini and confess his love to her and ask her to meet him at the airport. And so he does. And Chandini doesn't return her love over the phone, but she does say that she will meet him at the airport. Chandini is feeling a little bit confused in this moment, and she decides to call Rohit. You know, she has a backslide moment. She calls her ex. We've all been there. But it's Rohit's mom who picks up the phone and yells at her because that's just what she does. And so Chandini gets upset and her friend Kiran tells her to forget about Rohit. He's her past, but Lalit is her future. Good sound advice. I would give my friend Chandini this same advice.
It is sound advice, but just because it's sound advice doesn't mean we follow it.
This is true. This is absolutely true. Rohit and Lalit do land in India. Lalit is disappointed that Chandini is not there to greet him, but they go their separate ways, and it's Lalit who ends up visiting with Chandini first, and she tries to tell him about her past, but he says that he doesn't care, and he's, like, in a nice way, he's like, whatever happened in your past, it doesn't bother me, like, what matters to me is, like, who you are now, and that's what I care about. And he proposes to her, and she fairly hesitantly says yes.
Yeah.
And he's very excited. His mom is thrilled. Chandini goes back home, and Rohit arrives at her door.
Of course he does.
Of course he does. And she is just, she's completely shocked to see him, and even more shocked when he stands up out of his wheelchair and shows that he has regained his mobility.
Mm-hmm.
And Rohit just starts love bombing her, saying, let's just pick up where we left off. You know, I did all this for you, all the stuff.
Yeah. You don't get to say that.
Nope.
Like.
No. Yeah.
You made your choices. You did not make it a conversation. You did not let her in on how you were feeling. You made a unilateral decision that she is now working on living with. And so now you don't get to go tell her that she owes you something.
Nope. Absolutely not.
Yep.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was just like, Rohit, like, go away. I honestly was like, I don't want her to end up with him.
Same. Me too. Yeah. And there was a good amount of this movie where I didn't really want her to end up with Lolit either, but like,
yeah,
he did start to grow on me. And especially mm-hmm. when we see what he does.
Yeah.
I think he's the better man. But anyway, in this moment, Lolit calls Chandani and she talks to him briefly over the phone. And when they hang up, Rohit is jokingly like, hey, so what? There's some rival I've got to like fight off now.
Yeah.
And Chandani confesses that there is, in fact, someone else in her life and she is going to marry him. And Rohit, unsurprisingly and also terribly, gets very upset about this and he says that she belongs to him. And she reminds him that he pushed her away. And she says, once again, what would you have done in my place?
Mm-hmm.
And so Rohit does concede, and he says, all right, you're right, I wish you well, and he leaves. And I will say, I'm mad at Rohit and his reaction, but I was also like, if this was his reaction, this is exactly what I would want Chandani's reaction to be, and then I would want him to just give up.
I agree. It was a well-put-together scene.
Yes, very, very well put together. But so the next day, Lolit invites Chandani to meet his new friend, who he met in Switzerland, who is, of course, Rohit.
Yeah, bummer.
bummer. And Lolit does not notice the powerful tension between Chandani and Rohit.
I don't know how. Like, you're so oblivious. He's so, like, wrapped up in his, like, engagement bliss.
Yeah. He doesn't notice the, like, love daggers being thrown back and forth between these two. But so Rohit was like all ready to leave town, but Lolit convinces him to stay for their wedding. And at the wedding, Rohit gets drunk, which I get that impulse. Wouldn't be my first choice, but I understand the inclination. And just as Chandani and Lolit are taking their places for their ceremony, Rohit trips and falls down the stairs.
It's not funny. It's sad. It's tragic. But it's not. Like, he's gonna be fine.
He is fine. I know. My first thought was like, are they gonna kill Rohit? Like, right.
But he has that many stairs. No. It's like, but Chandani screams.
She loses it. Because... yeah, like, she has a much bigger reaction than I think anyone would have expected her to have of, like, her fiancé's friend of a few weeks falling down the stairs at their wedding.
I also just, like, no, that would be no one's reaction to seeing that happen. You would be concerned, like, you'd run over for sure to check on them, but you wouldn't, like, it's not like he fell off of a 50-foot cliff.
It's not like he fell out of another helicopter.
Exactly. What are the odds?
Why does this keep happening to me?
It's like, I don't know, man. Maybe you should stop going in helicopters that are open on the side.
Maybe you should just chill out your romantic gestures.
Oh, okay. Everyone's so concerned that he's dead, though.
Well, I feel like because Chandani reacts in such a big way, like, everybody kind of reacts in a big way. But this does cause Lolit to realize that, like, okay, maybe there's something else going on here.
Finally.
Yes. And... Rohit's fine. It was just a mild concussion. And we get a quick montage where Lolit first talks to Ramesh, and then we see him talking to Chandani. But we don't know what either of those conversations entailed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to Lalit's mom putting vermilion powder on Chandani's in the part of her hair.
Yeah.
And so she's married now. And then we see, while this is happening, Lolit is on the phone talking about reservations for a honeymoon suite and booking first-class plane tickets. And then he calls for Chandani, and as she comes down the stairs, Rohit emerges from another room.
Yes.
And he embraces Lalit's mom and then Lalit, and then Lalit opens the car door for Chandani, and Rohit gets in after her, and they head off for their honeymoon.
Yeah.
And Lalit and his mom tearfully watch as the car drives away, and Lalit says that neither of them were destined to have Chandani in their lives. And we get a quick reprise of him singing mournfully in the rain, and then of the Chandani theme as Rohit and Chandani drive off into their future, and then the words "love never ends" are written across the screen. And love never ends, but that is the end of the movie.
Yes. I wish that Lalit would have had a little more something something. I wish that he would have been, like, at peace somehow.
I agree. Yeah. I would have felt better.
He was sad. Yeah.
Yeah, he was sad. Yeah, I would have felt better if it seemed like he was just, like, fulfilled by that decision, as opposed to, like, really sad that the second woman he fell in love with was leaving his life.
Yeah.
And also, again, I just, like, Lalit is clearly the better man because he was not jealous in his, when he learned of Chandani's love for another person. Yeah. And he stepped back, presumably very gracefully, to let her be with the person who she loved. And I just wish, I would have, if I were Chandani, I probably would have wanted to be with Lalit. Because also his mom's so nice, and that's important. Like, mean in-laws are no fun.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like Chandani never gave Lalit a chance, which is, you know, everyone's on their own healing journey from certain, like, relationship experiences. But, like,
sure,
that could have been really good.
Yeah, and I feel like if Rohit hadn't come back into her life, that she and Lalit would have had that kind of marriage that, like, starts as companionship and then grows into friendship and then grows into, like, true love.
Yeah.
Which would have been a beautiful journey situation for both of them. Yes, a Rubney-type situation. Oh my gosh. Well, that would... That would have been great if that was, like, the... It just progressed... Like, that's season two.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But alas, I felt like we were supposed to be rooting for Rohit, and I just, like, wasn't. It felt like he had some growing up to do.
I agree. And I think a great way for him to have grown up would have been to realize there are consequences to his actions, like, beyond, like, falling out of helicopters. Like, lasting consequences to your actions, and you don't always get what you want in life.
Agreed. But as you said before we did the plot recap, like, I can see why it is a classic, and it is enjoyable, and it's charming, and it's romantic, and all of that stuff. I enjoyed it. I think I didn't really expect not to enjoy it, but I was a little concerned about the pacing.
Yeah.
Going into it, because I know it's Yash Chopra, and I trust him, but at the same time, it's also, like, the 80s, and...
Right. It was just a different era of filmmaking, yeah.
Exactly, and I wasn't sure I was going to be there for it. And it definitely was, like, longer dance scenes, more frolicking, kind of not dead air, but, like, no talking. Like,
Yeah. A lot of feelings.
Yes, but I liked it. I liked it, too.
I feel like I agree about the dance sequences were longer, and there were a lot of them. But the story itself, I was in from start to finish. I was invested. I cared about the characters. I had clearly had strong opinions about, like, what people should be doing.
Yeah.
And even though it didn't end the way that I would have wanted it to, I guess, in a way, I still was like, I understand everybody's motives. And I thought it was a well-told story. It was a well-acted film. It was beautiful to watch. And yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
I can see why this was the movie that, like, saved Yash Raj Films. Brought it up out of its 80s slump and launched it into its 90s success.
Agreed. Yeah. It's got good catapult energy.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Yes. Woo! Oh, man. Are we ready for research?
I'm ready for research.
Okay. I decided I wanted to learn more about Sridevi because she was so great. And
yeah.
I think we should definitely watch more of her films in the future, and I'm sure that we will. Could also be fun to watch some of her, like, non-Hindi language films.
Absolutely. Always down for that.
Yes. Yes. So that's a plug for later on. But yeah, so just like a slightly more extended bio on Tridevi is
great.
My research.
I'm excited to hear it.
Great. So she was born a wee lass in on August 13th.
She was born a full-grown human.
Yes, surprise. She popped out that way. No. Yeah, she was born on August 13th, 1963 in Meenampatti. And her first language was Telugu, but she was also fluent in Tamil.
Very impressive.
Yes, also not born that way. She definitely learned those languages.
I did have that thought. I was like, she was just born fluent.
Maybe she's born with it and it's actually Telugu. That's fun. Sridevi debuted in a Tamil language film, but throughout her career she worked in Telugu, Hindi, Tamil, Malayalam, and Kannada language films.
That is always so impressive when people can do that. Just
right,
it's not a trifecta because that's what, five different industries, but whatever. Yes. That would be
yeah, just incredible. And I think, yeah, what I was reading, it said, like, you know, her career span, like, 50 years.
Amazing.
Incredible. And I think she was in 300 movies, maybe a little bit more than that.
That's so many.
Yeah, prolific. And it makes sense that she is considered to be the first female superstar of Indian cinema.
Wow.
Yeah. Because it makes me wonder, you know, like, what are the criteria for that? And I would say that being in all the industries,
yeah,
not all of them,
but yeah,
being in, like, you know, five of them is big. And during her lifetime, she received a National Film Award, 4 Filmfare Awards, 2 Tamil Nadu State Awards, a Kerala State Film Award, and a Nandi Award. So
that's, yeah, a lot of awards.
It's a lot. And she also got some, like civilian award. You know how sometimes, yeah, it's just like, we're giving you this thing for being a prolific member of society.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't write that down. I just kind of absorbed it and moved on.
Yep.
What I did write down is this fun fact. So in 1986, she was in a snake fantasy film called Nagina, which Yahoo named, quote, one of the best snake fantasy films.
So if you were wondering where,
yeah,
what the top 10 of those were.
Well, so then Nagina was also ranked by Times of India to be one of the, quote, top 10 snake films of Hindi cinema.
Wow. That is a subgenre that I am fascinated and terrified to delve,
right,
into.
I'm like, does Indiana Jones count as a snake film? It's not snake fantasy, so snake fantasy is different.
He does not like snakes.
Correct.
So I feel like he doesn't get to be, like, a snake hero.
But it's just a snake film. So is a snake film any film that has snakes? Or does it need to feature a hero that is part snake or has a snake? Is Harry Potter a snake film? That's a snake fantasy film. Okay.
I think we need to find out more. I think, yeah, I don't know what defines a snake fantasy film or just a snake film in general. What about, the only snake film I know is Snakes on a Plane.
I was literally thinking about Snakes on a Plane, yeah.
And I'm sure that this is, like, a much more culturally rich experience, the
yes,
snake film.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
But still.
Yeah.
I do like snakes.
We make light of it, but I understand it's not just like, look at this snake. There's, yeah, there's lore involved with that. But anyway, Nagina is actually credited as being the film that established Sridevi as the biggest female star of the 1980s, rivaling the popularity of Amitabh Bachchan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's hear it for the girls.
Snaps. Get yourself a snake fantasy film.
Yep.
It'll do wonders.
Apparently. It'll just, yeah, launch your career in all the right directions.
And then Chandani, which came out in 1989, reaffirmed that status. And some critics even said that Chandani was the film that established Sridevi as the nation's sweetheart.
Wow.
Which I like and would believe based on
yeah.
the film we just watched.
Absolutely.
And Sridevi ended up being nominated for Best Actress at the Filmfare Awards for Chandani, but she actually won that category with a different 1989 film, Chabaz.
Ah.
Yes. So 1989 was a big year for her.
I guess.
But then in 1996, Sridevi married Boney Kapoor of the Kapoors, as we know. Uh-huh. And a year later, she took a hiatus from film, which lasted up until 2012 when she reemerged on the scene. Mm-hmm. During that hiatus, she had her two daughters, Janhvi Kapoor and Khushi Kapoor. Mm-hmm. And then on screen, Sridevi is known for playing strong-willed, outspoken women, but in reality, she was actually an introvert.
Aww.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of famous people are. A lot of actors
right.
are.
People who worked with her said that they literally had not ever met anyone more shy than her.
Wow. Like,
crippling shyness.
Aww.
But that she then just came to life for a role in front of the camera.
That's incredible.
Right? Yeah. So she rarely gave interviews and avoided discussing her private life, but mm-hmm. that makes it so much more incredible that she was this such a big presence. And then she did die on February 24th, 2018, of accidental drowning at a hotel in Dubai, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Which is so tragic. I had read about that before you sharing that just now, and
mm-hmm.
just, like, what a horrible way yeah. to die. Like, and I can't imagine how shocking that must have been for her family and for the nation that loved her so much as a performer. Like, just
yeah.
so, so tragic.
I know. But, I mean, what a life. So
what a life. And what a, yeah, what an artist. And I'm just, I can't wait to watch more from her. I just,
me
yeah.
too.
Well, thank you so much for adding more Sridevi context to Chandani. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm just so excited to have gotten to experience her, and I look forward to seeing more.
Great. Yeah, me too. Coming up yeah. in the future, we'll definitely do
yes.
it.
Yes.
So, Bollywood news?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you'd like to share?
No.
You really had to think hard about that.
I did.
I have two things. First, that it looks like Varun has a new movie coming out, a Karan Johar movie called Sunny Sanskari Ki Tulsi Kumari. And it seems like they're just starting production, so probably not something we're going to be getting for quite some time. But I particularly wanted to mention it, one, because, you know, we love Varun. We also love Karan Johar mm-hmm. movies. But yeah. also, Akshay Oberoi from Fighter is in it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Great. I like him.
You do. I like him too.
So cool. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll add that to the list when we're able to.
When we can, yeah. And then I think the biggest piece of not just Bollywood news, but just like human news is Alia Bhatt and her look at the Met Gala on Monday, which was universally agreed upon to be one of the best looks of the night. Have you not seen it?
I haven't. So one second.
Oh my gosh. I'll experience it live on the air.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God. She looks like a fairy queen.
She does. And It's been cool to see, like, she's done interviews and things where she and the designer have talked about their inspiration was, like, the classic sari, but in an both kind of updated form, but also calling on, like, the styles of the 1920s.
Yeah.
And it looks like classic and timeless, which is very fitting for the theme of the Met Gala
right.
this year. And it just made me so happy that not just was she there, but also, like,
she made a
I had
statement.
People, yeah, like, people in my life who know I'm into Bollywood, but who aren't necessarily into it themselves, texting me, like, do you know who Alia Bhatt is? She looked, this woman looked amazing at the Met Gala. And I was like, yep, I do and I know.
I also just, like, I'm looking at her train, like her.
Oh, stunning. Oh,
gorgeous.
The train, like, I had literally just had a conversation about how I didn't think I wanted my wedding dress to have a train.
And then you saw and this.
Then I saw this and I was like, do I want my wedding dress to have a train?
Maybe.
Maybe.
She also just is, like, rocking it.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Like, her face, like, she's just, like, on it. She looks mm-hmm. amazing. Oh, God.
Incredible. Yes.
Thanks for sharing that.
Absolutely.
Great. Pluggables.
Mm-hmm.
Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. Do what you do. You can also subscribe to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You could leave a rating there. You could leave a review. Depends on the platform. Those are always appreciated. But also, if you're not about any of that, that's fine. Thank you so much for listening anyway.
Yeah. And it did just occur to me, like, do what you do on Instagram just means, like, you know, like stuff if you want to, send us a message if you want to, comment yeah. on stuff if you want to. Yeah, it just occurred to me, I was like, a new listener might hear that and be like, what does that mean? And that's what that means.
That's a good point. I like your optimism that we have new listeners.
I know for a fact that we had someone listen to it for the first time this week, so.
That's true. Okay, yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Thank you for elaborating.
Yes, and we also have our Bollywood Bangers playlists on YouTube and Spotify, which we add our favorite songs from the movies that we watch to those playlists. And so you can access those via the links that we share in our episode descriptions, as well as in our Instagram posts on Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
Now, next week we had a last minute change up.
We
so
did.
You'll just have to wait to see what we were going to do originally. It'll happen soon. But next week, for some Yash Raj films juxtaposition,
mm-hmm.
we will be covering what we lovingly call the bomb movie.
Yes.
Job Talk, Hey John.
Yes. This was Yash Chopra's final film mm-hmm. that he directed, and as we learned in The Romantics, he passed away before he could even see a final edit of the film.
Yeah.
Which is so sad, but the movie is interesting. I was about to say it's fun. It's not fun.
But it
but
has
it's also
fun.
not fun.
Right. It really covers a lot of ground.
Yes.
It has scope.
It does have scope. And there are some ways that I feel it is maybe similar to Chandani in the sense of, like, mm-hmm. first loves versus second loves and accidents yeah. that alter the course of romance.
Well, yeah, and also maybe just some stupid decisions.
That too.
Yeah.
Yep, those are in there for sure. But yeah, it's been a long time since I've watched this movie, and I'm excited mm-hmm. to watch it again now, knowing more about the industry, about Yash Chopra, and
yeah.
having seen an earlier, something from the middle of his career, I would say, to compare it to.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be able to kind of talk about it with yeah. that background in mind. Also excited that we've seen it before, because the last time we watched it was the first time we both had seen it, and it was when yeah. we were together.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit stressful if you haven't seen it before. So
it is, and we both agreed that it would be a lot more fun watching it the second time because
yes.
we knew how it ended.
Exactly. Great. Also, we should probably mention before we go into the synopses that Shah Rukh Khan.
Yes.
Oh my God. He's here.
Yep.
You want charming Shah Rukh? You got it. You want grizzled, jaded soldier Shah Rukh? You also got it.
Right.
It's really the best of everything.
All the best Shah Rukhs in one place.
Yeah. Shah Rukh's like first on screen kiss, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll talk about that. That's, yeah.
worth talking about. Also, two of our favorite Bollywood women, Katrina Kaif and Anushka Sharma, are both in it. So,
and Rishi Kapoor.
And Rishi Kapoor. I forgot about him.
Yeah. Just for the one scene. But yeah, it's a good time. Lots of good people. Lots of good performances. Our plot description on IMDb is an uncompromising film on true love from the legendary and unforgettable director Yash Chopra, which is fascinatingly distinctive and contemporary.
Okay, well, that doesn't tell you anything.
Not a plot description, but...
Great. It is available to watch on Amazon Prime, and the Amazon Prime synopsis is exactly the same. and to be fair, it's really hard to explain what it's about.
So... Any harder than, like, any of the other movies we watch, though, you know? Like,
no, I guess we can just explain why we call it the bomb movie, which is just that in, like, present day, Shah Rukh's character is, like, a soldier who goes around disarming bombs. So that's why we call it the bomb movie.
Yeah.
Boom. There's bombs. That's all you
there's
need.
There's bombs in it. Yeah. Boom, so to speak.
Boom. So yeah, I am so excited to watch it again. And everyone enjoy it. And until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood.
And Sridevi.
Always.
Past films to continue
always. To be. Always. She's got three. Yes. She's got 300 of them. We should really just get to work.
Yeah, it's going to take a while, but it'll be worth it.
Exactly.